In today's episode of part two of Wealth Master, we're going to be talking about money, behaviors, and the impact that they've had on us. There are many things that we've seen. There's many things that was taught to us. And there are eight different behaviors that I want to talk about today that I think will really help you to get an understanding or an idea about how you may be acting and or reacting to money, where that comes from, and what that can mean for your future. Make sure that you join me on this podcast. I'll see you on the inside. If you are a female entrepreneur who is serious about starting, growing, or scaling your business, but you are really finding it challenging to make the money that you want to make, or you're finding that the resources, maybe even the technology, and even some of the gurus are really just more expensive and cost more than you really want to spend right now, but you know that if you had the resources that you needed, you can really thrive in your business. If that's for you, then this podcast is for you. My name is Dr. T, and I am proud to be one of the co-founders of CCOClub.com and CCO Club Podcast, where we are building a space and a community to be able to serve you. But get this, we are much, much more than just a community. Our goal is to create an ecosystem where we have our own engagement, we create our own technology platforms, we are creating our own shared spaces, some TV channels, and even much, much more. And we want to be able to do that with the very women who want to connect with us, because what we know is that we can always be stronger together. So if that's you, make sure you hang out to learn much more about what we have going on, and we will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of Faith, Focus, and Finances. We are part of the CCO Club network of podcasts, and I am super excited about this mini series that I'm doing. We're talking about wealth mastery. You know, let me just dive off topic really quickly. Sometimes I'm thinking about the podcast and what I should be doing or not doing. And you know what? I'm just going to keep doing what God puts in my heart. Maybe it is, you know, talking about one thing one day, but what I'm and something else another. But what I am staying true to in this 99th episode is faith. I'm sticking to focus and what we could do with our mindset. And we're talking about finances mostly as it relates to women entrepreneurs who want to start, grow, scale their businesses, because we believe that we can do better together. Head over to CCOClub.com to get more information on what we're going to do. I just cannot wait till we just put fire on top of the things that we are talking about. And while I'm always excited to run through a wall about it, we have to do things decently and in order, and we understand the importance of laying the right foundation. So that's what we've been working on. But you can get a lot more information if you head over again to CCOClub.com to get more information. But today we're talking about money, behaviors, and impact. Now listen. When you are really, the real thing about this particular series, Wealth Mastery, is about healing your relationship with money, identifying your relationship with money, improving your relationship with money, because while money should be a tool, money has, in a lot of ways, gotten into our lives in so many ways. And it almost seems like it's in every aspect of our lives in some way or another. I mean, if you're thinking about, like, does money impact our relationships? I think it does. You know, does money impact where we go to church? I think it does. And I think in an indirect way, right? And again, that's maybe another conversation for another day. But I think that money really impacts us in a lot of ways. And I think that, you know, when you are starting a business, for example, and you haven't identified or healed or thought about your actual relationship with money, you might be in a place where you're finding out that things might be more challenging for you, right? Is that directly related to your impact with money? I don't think so, but I think that there's definitely some indirect things that are attached to that, and really getting an understanding of what that's about. So I really, for this particular podcast, I'm going to talk about a behavior, and then I'm going to talk about the impact, and in some way, weave in how I think that are how I think we can begin to work on overcoming them. So I hope you're taking notes, and this might be a good episode to come back to there in the future. I know I go back and listen to them. So if I'm the one that's producing them, and I'm going back to listen to them, then I encourage you to do the same. So money behaviors and impact, we are starting with number one. Again, there's eight behaviors and an impact, and I want you thinking about this, and I wish that you would email me. It's in my emails in the description. I wish that you would go to the website of ccoclub.com/podcast. Scroll down to the bottom. There's an orange button. You can leave me a voicemail. I would love, love, love to hear from you about this particular thing we're talking about with money impact, how money behaviors and impact. So behaviors, the first behavior is that we that may have been part of our lives is our parents were either poor, frugal, or wanted to teach you a lesson. Right. And I can think about this. Many of these, if not all of these behaviors, God spoke to me about these because they were intertwined within my own life. Right. In a lot of respects, especially in my community, there's a lot of us that didn't even know we grew up poor. And that's because, you know, love can hide a whole bunch of stuff. And you might not necessarily get some of the latest this, that, or the third, but you had what you needed. Right. And there may be some that were below that. Right. You didn't always have what you needed. Maybe there was always struggling. Maybe mom or mom and dad or whomever you might have lived with or were always struggling and working more than one job to be able to make ends meet. You know, trying to celebrate on, you know, the important days that we tend to celebrate, at least here in the USA. But you're poor. And it sometimes it takes getting older and seeing other people and getting out of the four walls of your community to understand that, you know, that poverty looks different for different people, right? And or maybe you had parents that were frugal, right? They was always shopping on coupons. Never, you know, spent, you know, top dollar for anything, you know, it was always, you know, off-brand or things of that nature. And I'm not even in any way suggesting that there's something wrong with that. But what it does is it there is an impact when this begins to happen, right? And or they want to teach you a lesson, right? There are things that, you know, I'm teaching you a lesson. Are you not, money doesn't, oh, how many of you guys heard money don't grow on trees? And then you realize that it really is paper and paper comes from trees. And then you try to act like you go outsmart your parents. Don't do it. And your kids probably did it as well, right? Right. But the impact for that is that we can tend to overcompensate, overspend, and then rationalize it. Because when, especially if you've come from these areas where it had a tremendous impact on you in the way of you couldn't get the things that you wanted. You wanted to do things, you know, when you got of age to maybe hang out with some friends or travel somewhere or do some things, but you couldn't because of that. And so as we get older, I think sometimes we consciously or subconsciously begin to think that and overspend that and then begin to rationalize it because I'm never going to be poor again. I'm never going to be as frugal as my parents are. Now, there are some of us who may have gotten being frugal and put it in our lives today. My question to you is not if you're doing that. My question to you, is it healthy? That might set somebody free right there, because sometimes we're doing it as a byproduct or as a result of, that's probably a better way to say it, as a result of how we grew up and how things happened to us. And now we're doing it in a way where it almost could be burdensome for you, right? Like you can go out and spend top dollar for something if that's really what you want and, you know, bills are paid and you're taking care of everything that you want to. And you just feel like this is what I want to do and feel good about it because life for many of us is about experiences, not necessarily about stuff, right? And so I want you to ask yourself, do you overcompensate for how you grew up learning about money? Do you overspend now, meaning meaning you're putting too much on credit cards, you're living above your means, you don't have enough money saved up, you know, 6 to 12 months of, you know, living expenses. Most people say three, but three can go by really quickly, I can tell you that. But 6 to 12 months to make sure that if you just decided to be off for 6 months, you were going to be okay, right? So that's one of the behaviors. Another behavior is, I think on a flip side, is that you are spoiled. You know, I wasn't one that was spoiled. I know that there are some of you that were out there. Sometimes that comes by way of, you know, an only child may have gotten spoiled, or the boy might have gotten spoiled, or the baby might have gotten spoiled, or whatever the case may be, right? But you were spoiled and you got the things that you wanted, or you learned how to cry about them and somebody was going to get them for you, because maybe you're the first, you know, the first of whatever in the family, and everybody is just so excited. So you can kind of get what you want it. But the impact of that, from a particularly not so healthy perspective, is entitlement. And oftentimes entitlement to a luxury lifestyle, entitlement to, like I have a nephew who was raised with not only girls, but mostly girls. And so there was, I think, sometimes this expectation of people, maybe particularly women, and I'm not in any way saying he was a womanizer at all, but this thing that, you know, the girls are going to take care of you, because they did. And then that's what ended up happening, right? And so there might be, you could be spoiled by dad, and as a dad girl, for example, and then you expect that from your mate. Right. You do have an entitlement, and maybe it's not to a luxury lifestyle, but as a lifestyle more than you can afford. Again, that's true. I said it. Deal with it. Right. So that might be an impact that you were spoiled. And also what this might do is open these particular behaviors and impact might actually open your eyes to some of the things that may be happening through you to maybe a partner, through you, maybe to your children, something that is happening to you. Like, I just want you to think about it in as many ways as you can, because the goal is that we have to heal this relationship with money if we are looking to build wealth, if we are looking to build wealth. So the next one, number three, is your parents were extremely charitable. So there are some of us who've had parents that put a lot of money in church. And I'm not talking about tithes. I'm talking about a lot of money. I'm talking about those parents who always are in the line when, you know, and I grew up, I'm a full disclosure, I grew up Pentecostal, Kojic, you know, whatever the case may be. And there's always this, you know, line of people, you know, stand up. And, you know, I need 10 people to give $1,000, or, you know, we need this much more for the offering, or, you know, I want to see how many people can get, you know, can give 5,000, whatever the case may be. Right. And believing in God without regard, I'm going to say it. Believing in God, without the regard for how that's going to impact your household, right? And on top of that, always needing a miracle of bailout. I know I'm talking to somebody here, right? So I believe that we should hear from God about some, we should inquire with God if our church or organization, for whatever reason, is trying to go above and beyond to do something spectacular, whatever the case may be. And I think we should be praying about that. We also should make sure that, and it's probably going to be a sacrifice for most of us. I don't know if I believe that God always, not sometimes, but always wants us to do that without regard for the responsibilities that he's already given us, right? Like, if I'm always giving and I can't pay my car note all the time, or I can't pay my rent all the time, or my kids are going without, then I want us to go back in prayer. That's all I'm gonna say about it like that, because I just want us to be in a different place about it. But you might have had parents that were extremely charitable. They're always taking care of somebody. Somebody's always calling in need. We have family members like that. People are always calling, needing something, and your parents are like, well, you know, I they need it. And like no is not a complete sentence in and of itself, because there's some guilt that may be behind that. And that's what the impact is, that you have a good heart, but you give beyond what you should because of the guilt. You give beyond what you should. You give beyond on your time, because people are asking for it, and you've always been generous. You give beyond your financial resources. You give beyond your talent. You just give beyond. And when you don't, and when you're tired, you give beyond when you have a lot going on, and you still are trying to squeeze people in because you have a good heart. I find that that's many of us who are servants in, let's say, you know, some like. Sometimes I think nurses, I just have some friends that are nurses, and I know that they are just givers, right? There's a lot of people out there. They give their time. I know some folks that are at church. They're just givers. There's some folks in nonprofits, just givers. Some folks that are educators, givers. Those are just some that just came off the top of my head. And the reality is that we sometimes go beyond what we should. And I think that we need to heal that part of us. I'm not saying we shouldn't give. I'm saying not give beyond where we should take on guilt when we can't or when we don't want to. It is okay to not want to give somebody some money. It is okay to not want to give of your time or your talent, right? It is okay because it's yours. And oftentimes people with their situations know how to talk to you with this sense of obligation, and with this sense of you don't love me, and with this sense of, you know, manipulation. And I just don't believe it's of God. And I think that that can be something that could have happened when you are around people, parents, loved ones that were extremely charitable. Again, I'm talking about the negative side of it because, you know, I grew up seeing extreme charity, and I love to give. I love to give to my church. I love to give, but I also have to make sure I'm taking care of myself. So there's always a place where we have to be careful with that. The next one taught, you weren't literally taught about money. Like we didn't, you weren't one that someone set you down, explained to you about how to use money, explain to you how to use it, explain, you know, how to use it as a tool. It was just what you had to do to pay the bills. And you just kind of learned by watching, but not actually taught. But the impact of that is that sometimes we can have lack of direction. We can overspend. We can undersave. We don't invest, right? When we're not actually taught about how to utilize our money. I've said before, thinking about my son, you know, he goes to the store and he grabs what he see. Did you look? Did you price check? I never taught him. So I can't be mad that he didn't know how to do that if I never taught him how to do that. And because it frustrated me, I made sure that I taught him, right? Like to really understand, getting what you want, but sometimes having some delayed gratification, right? And that's a thing that many of us, I think, struggle with, is that delayed gratification. I want it now. And because I want it now, I want to move heaven and earth. I want to hawk whatever I have to. I want to do whatever I have to do to get it right now, because I have not put this idea of delayed gratification in my space so that I can learn how to have a better relationship with money and not just spend because I want it at a particular time. I know that might be setting somebody free right there, right? And so I want us to have this direction. I want us, and yes, I'm talking about all the stuff that seems negative, but if you stay around for the series, you're going to get all the stuff that I got that's good. So that's what it is. I don't want us to undersave. I want us to oversave. I want us to do some things that are better. So the next one, I forget which number I'm on, but the next one, bad mouth the stock market or the rich. Now, some of us have, unfortunately, have been around people that, you know, they talk about the stock market is a scam and all you're doing is losing your money, or you talk about rich people all the time and why are this person spending their money on this and why is that one doing that? I mean, that's like every day in our world today with social media, we're always upset about how someone chooses to spend their money as if we get a vote in their money. But anyway, and what ends up happening when you've been around that is the impact is you can begin to avoid that. You can avoid the market, the stock market. You can avoid investing and really rely on retirement, which we know in today's day and age is really for a lot of us a thing of the past. Like you have to, I'm not saying that it's not available to a lot of people, but I'm saying that if you want to live comfortably, we're going to have to make some other decisions, or people are unfortunately going to be forced to work longer than they want to because of not setting things up appropriately, not investing, not looking at things that could bring them money because of how they have been reared with that particular ideology. Okay, so the next one is keeping up with the Joneses. Now, that's a behavior. I know it. And some of us are doing that now. I said it, deal with it. Some of us are have this thing about keeping up with the Joneses. And for those of you who may be all around the world who don't know what that kind of colloquialism is about, it's about keeping up with people who look like they're making money, right? They drive this very nice car and live in a very nice house and always have name brand clothes, because that's the thing, unfortunately, in society that we look at to try to evaluate riches, right? Which is crazy, but that's what we do, right? And the reality is that the impact is we have a strong need to keep up appearances. And watch this, that need becomes so strong at times that we will oftentimes buy houses based on what we think other people will say about it. And I'm going to tell you how I know I'm right about this. I know I'm right about it, but I'm going to give you some examples of how I know I'm right about it. I've said it, I may have said this before in a podcast a long, long time ago, but when I watch anything that has to do with building a house on TV, HGTV or, you know, tiny houses or whatever the case may be, one of the things I'm telling you almost every single episode when they're looking around, when they're talking about rebuilding, when they're talking about purchasing, they are talking about how they're going to have space for entertainment, other people, having space for other people. Now, if I understand correctly, most of us don't have that entertainment house in the sense of all of us aren't inviting everybody over to our house all the time. You know that there's always the house that everybody, you, your friends and stuff go to, right? But that's not all of us. But why are we always thinking about what other people, this space for other people, right? Always thinking about it for other people, as opposed to living in a space that is going to be comfortable for us, because 95% of the time people aren't coming over anyway. We're living with those who are in our household, right? And we'll sometimes need to keep up appearances so much that we're going to get cars that we can't afford, just flat out can't afford. And it's not, and people think, oh, I can afford that car, but you can afford that car and that luxury price tag, but can you afford the gas and the insurance on it? I know I'm talking to somebody, right? We can afford, we want to buy just expensive stuff. Again, I am not trying to bash people who like that. I love luxury cars. I do. I love how they ride. I love the service I get with them. I just love how they're made. That's just me. But I'm not going to do it to the detriment of what it is keeping up appearances. And watch this. I can tell you that I'm not doing it because I used to do it, right? I actually happened to be able to afford most of it at the time, but it was still about appearances, right? And then it came to a point where like, why? Right. And I'm telling you, this will be something that can absolutely set you free, is if you need to be done with that stuff, be done with it. If you need to downsize, if you need to trade it in, if you need to let it go, because we have to heal our relationship with money. If we want to build wealth, it is imperative that we do this. The next one, I think this is number 7, because I have 2 more left. One behavior is that we had dependent parents. So maybe you grew up and you saw that you were in a space, or maybe this is you now, you have parents that you had to take care, right? You have parents that you had to take care, or you were in a situation where you always saw somebody taking care of a parent. Now, the impact is oftentimes there is a desire or an expectation to be taken care of, all right? Like, again, these aren't always the exact impacts, but I think the point that I'm trying to get you to understand is I want you thinking about this, because these things do have an impact. If, for example, you were one that, you know, that people want to keep up appearances and always wanted to look like they had the best, but then when we were at home, we were arguing, fussing and fighting about it. We were stressed out about the bills, lights were getting cut off, this, that, and the third. Ask yourself, how did that impact how I am today? How did that shape me today? Because I need my relationship to be healthy, right? I need my relationship to be healthy. That's the point. And the final one, the behavior is that your parents were divorced or never married. right? And the impact with that is that we want to live happily ever after. We sometimes want to marry too early, and we oftentimes get into debt too early. How do those two equate? How does those equate? You're never married. Like oftentimes with there could be financial impact with that, right? My mother did not marry my father. She married my sister's father, and then they were separated for, like my people do, forever. And then they were never not married, but they were with other people. Needless to say, that impacted my understanding of money, and it impacted my level of debt, because I just didn't understand it. And because we live poor, and you know, you split a household and half goes over here, half goes over there. And now my mom is taking care of three girls, you know, and I just didn't want to live like that. So you know what I did? I learned how to get credit cards by myself. I actually taught myself how to lie on the application. It wasn't right, wasn't godly, did it, got into debt. Because I had any credit card I wanted, got into debt, right? And oftentimes parents getting divorced can have an impact financially on how you see it. And then it means something to you, right? It means something to you. So what I really want you thinking about through episode number 2 in this series of Wealth Mastery is, what behaviors did you see in how you grew up and throughout your life with money? How have you been living? What behaviors have you been exhibiting with wealth and money? And how has it impacted you? Has it impacted you negatively, or has it impacted you positively? Because I'm telling you, if we get this under control, I think that as we begin to do, for those of us who are running businesses and trying to impact our part of the world, I believe God will be glorified. I believe that he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I believe that he will continue to bless us, because as the Bible talks about, to whom much is given, much is required. When you're thinking about trying to do more, right? They're talking about the in the New Testament where the owner gave the men the different talents, right? And what you are doing with those talents? Are you doing something with them? And then when he came back and the one with the one talent buried it, he took what he gave and gave it to the person with the most. Right? You never know how God is going to be blessing you. And so the goal is to be able to do what it is we are supposed to do with our wealth, and get a better understanding of how it impacts you. I hope that there was something that I said today that was a blessing to your spirit. I pray that you are hanging with me for this particular series, because I want us to just break some shackles of money and how we see money and what it is we're doing, because I think that it's going to be something that's going to be good. And I have some goals and some other things that we're going to be talking about tomorrow or in the next podcast episode, whenever you're listening to this, because I think it's going to be good. So make sure you hang out with the sister, and I'll see you on the next episode. Hey there, before you take off, we would really appreciate it if you clicked on that follow button, even download this episode, share it if it was something that you know would be meaningful for another friend, because that is really what's going to help this podcast grow so that we can continue to give you fantastic content. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you following.